Our text this morning comes from John's Gospel account, chapter 4, verses 13 through 26. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me of this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So far our text. You never miss the water till the well runs dry. That's what an old proverb says about taking things for granted. But perhaps that doesn't strike a chord with us because we don't have to go down to the well and draw water from it. We don't have to ration our water for drinking and for washing. In fact, a lot of functioning wells today in our part of the world are mechanical, and they do all the hard work for us. And sure, there's people in the world today that still have to manually go to these wells and draw water, but the idea is pretty foreign to us. We have indoor plumbing, pipes, faucets, water heaters. We have water readily available wherever we go. And there's no denying that water is an essential part of our lives because we make this point to have it everywhere we go. Jesus needed such refreshment as well. He and his disciples were on the way to Galilee when they stopped in Sychar, a place in Samaria where Jacob had bought land a long time ago. Now, for context, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't see eye to eye. The Jews considered the Samaritans impure and corrupted for reasons ranging from intermarriages to their acceptance of only the five books of Moses. They rejected Jerusalem as the place of worship and instead worshiped on Mount Gerizim. The woman in our text was a Samaritan. And even she draws attention to his request by saying that he is a Jew and she a Samaritan. And to this, he answers that if she knew who he was, she would be asking him for living water. She was thinking of earthly things. Living water was something she did not know or understand. But at this point, she is intrigued. She wants some of this living water that Jesus is talking about so she don't have to go down to that well anymore. She was still thinking of earthly water at this point. Perhaps that Jesus even had some physical water that he could pull out and give to her. But this was not the case. And of earthly matters, Jesus instead told the woman to go get her husband and come over to the well. And he knew the heart and mind of this woman, but he asked it of her anyway. And she does not hide the fact that the man living with her was not her husband. Some commentators have even noted that divorce was a fairly easy process for the Samaritans, and that boredom would sometimes be grounds enough to get one. So not only was the man she lived with not her husband, but she'd actually had five husbands prior. And Jesus brings this to her attention. He wasn't trying to trap this woman into a confession, but he was trying to lead her to an understanding. Much like God in the Garden of Eden, he knew exactly where and what it was that Adam and Eve had done, but he used that moment to teach them to see their own. The law of God is something we all too often take for granted as well. Though we recognize that the gospel is the living water, the law still has its purpose. The Samaritan woman continued to live in her sin because she'd probably grown dull to the effects of it. But the Lord was quite clear in the Ten Commandments that adultery is not a tolerable sin. No sin is tolerable in the sight of God. The Samaritan woman was guilty of breaking that sixth commandment, but also every other commandment as well. Sound familiar? We need not look any further than our own selves and how the law shows us as the thirsty, dried-out beggars that we are. In verses 19 and 20 of our text, she tells Jesus that she perceives he is a prophet. And in this, she is also correct, though she's still missing this bigger picture. Seeing the error in what she's done, she explains to Jesus that the Samaritans, they worship on Gerizim, and the Jews, they worship in Jerusalem. And she likely mentioned this out of concern, as if to say, this is the thing, this is the way that things currently are. What can I do differently? The idols that the Samaritans mingled into their worship, they would not have an answer to this question. The proverbial well that they drew from was empty, whereas before it was no better than sewage. And he flat out tells her that the Samaritans worship what they do not know. He follows that by saying the Jews do know what they worship because salvation is of the Jews. The Savior promised throughout the Old Testament was to be born of the Jews. This is seen all the way back in Genesis with Abraham and Jacob, whose well they were conversing at this very moment. This is something that a Samaritan would know. God had a plan from the beginning to rescue his people. In that time that Jesus spoke of, people would truly worship the Father in spirit and truth because God is spirit and truth. And the woman finally tells him that she knows the Christ will come into the world and explain all of these things to them. And she knows that the Messiah is coming. And Jesus' words to her were explicit in three different languages. In our English, it's clear enough, I who speak to you am he. In the Greek, he emphasizes for one of the first times in his ministry that it is I am, which ultimately draws from the Hebrew the word Jehovah or Yahweh. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the great I am. There is no mistakable language found here. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of all, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the living water needed to quench the spiritual thirst of all people. So you never miss the water till the well runs dry. The old Adam, he draws dust and sand from the spiritual well. His thirst is never quenched. He deserves every bit of grit in his glass. The Lord wants his children to be refreshed and to drink him in fully. And though his people rebelled against him and took him for granted, as we often do as well, he still loved and cared for each and every one of them, just as he continues to care for us. In Christ, the living water flows freely forever. And though there may be trial and temptation in the world, and though the devil may seek to have us take God for granted, God does not, nor will he ever, take us for granted. May we continue to worship our Lord in spirit and truth. Amen. We conclude with singing verses 1 and 4 of 417.